Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For the second consecutive week, I have now heard a story from Kevin Herr about him taking somebody to the track and stealing lug nuts.
Did we talk about that last week?
Yes, we did.
I didn't remember.
Yes.
Wasn't stealing. Not going to do anything with them anyway.
It's a lug nut.
True.
It's like taking dirt home from the warning track at Fenway Park.
I would do that, too. I would definitely do that. And then put a jar on it with a label, Fenway Warning Track. I would definitely do that.
Really?
And you didn't?
No, and I've been on the field at Fenway many times.
Yeah. And who did?
Nobody.
No, I doubt that.
Nobody. Sorry, I don't mean to disappoint you. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Phone line at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, sponsor of the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 435, we will repeat our interview with Bill O'Brien. Because the audience does change, and we think it's something worth listening to.
I would like to hear, though, listeners call in on our 800 line, powered by Lenape Solar, and discuss some of the, not rituals, but the strange things you've collected over the years. So you can call in at 800-795-9565 and share that. I think the weirdest thing I have is an unused biathlon ticket from the Salt Lake City Games.
Let's see. What's the weirdest thing I have? Nothing. All right.
Yeah, I doubt that, because if you don't think it's weird, somebody else will. You cannot tell me in all the years you've been around sports, you do not have a section of collectible anythings.
Well, I have things that I've done.
So you have no autographs, no nothing. You just have, it's the Steve Jones shrine in your house.
No, I don't have autographs.
You don't have any collectibles at all?
No.
I don't believe you.
I've always done it for other people.
You've never collected anything?
No.
I don't believe that.
I never have. Anytime I've ever been able to get something signed for somebody has always been for them or for somebody else or for somebody who's sick.
Right. And that's great.
But never for me personally. I know these people. I have personal friendships with them.
Yeah, but you don't collect anything?
No. Why should I? There's nothing for me to collect.
I find that hard to believe.
I mean, for example, I will keep, I have my press pass from every NCAA tournament game I broadcast.
All right, well, that's a collection.
Yeah, but that's personal. That was given to me.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean there. But
and what I've done is I've put them, put those credentials, for example, in frames. 2008 Penn State won the Big Ten championship, so I have every press pass from that season, including the Rose Bowl press pass and the name, my locker room nameplate from the Rose Bowl in a frame.
You had a locker room nameplate?
Yes, I get a locker room nameplate at every bowl game.
What, pray tell, would you use that for?
They gave it to me. I didn't ask for it.
All right.
They gave all of us locker room nameplates, and they put our nameplates up in a locker. We got to keep the nameplate, so I kept it.
So in your entire life, you've never collected any sports memorabilia or anything at all?
No, I haven't. I mean, there are pictures I've had with different people along the way. There's a picture of me presenting Dennis Miller with a jersey. Picture, you know, obviously a lot of pictures of Joe and me together. Pictures of Jack and me together, broadcast team together, Dick and me together, Governor Rendell and I.
trying to think some pictures of me at Fenway Park of the World Series or of the World Series itself. Friends, we went to Lambeau Field, so I have my ticket from Lambeau Field and the Packer Hall of Fame and the pictures of us at Lambeau together. Orange Bowl, I have that with the Orange Bowl patch.
No Wheaties boxes?
No, the Orange Bowl patch that they wore that night. I was given one of those, just like I was given a Capital One Bowl patch to go with my locker room nameplate. Things like that. I mean, NIT. I have the NIT run of all the press passes from the regular season to the Big Ten tournament to the NIT run to the championship, encased along with the poster and all the scores on it from when they won.
See, that's nice. I like those ideas.
I have the poster where they show the crowd, and I think it said All In or something like that, and I'm on the poster.
But no baseball cards?
No.
No football cards?
That are signed? Or
no, just collectibles.
Well, when I was a kid, I collected baseball cards.
Like, I have a Cal Ripken rookie card.
Well, I collected baseball cards and football cards and hockey and basketball cards. I mean, I still have those in
the
box.
That counts.
I have those in a box. I mean, like, wow. I have a Jim Brown, Cleveland Browns card. I have a Bobby Orr card, things like that, but they aren't signed. You know, and then there are other things that are personal. For example, I have a Big Ten championship ring in football with my name on it. I have an NIT championship ring with my name on it. I mean, things like that. I mean, do you consider those weird collectibles? Those are given to me as gifts for my contribution.
No, I don't consider those weird collectibles at all. And I understand what you're saying about, you know, stuff that you've been a part of. I get that. I'm just talking about collectibles. Like a sportsman. Like if you went to a sports collectible show, would you have anything that you would buy?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Not interested.
Because, like, I have a Drew Bledsoe Washington State University card, rookie card.
Right.
And I have that in a separate case because that's a valuable card.
Right.
But nothing like that, huh?
No, but I understand when people do that, especially when it's for charity. Okay? That I completely understand, all right? So that part, I totally understand, especially when it benefits charity. Personally, I have no interest.
I find that interesting.
But
maybe it's because you're around it more often, though.
Right.
Maybe that's what the difference is.
I'm around it all the time, and I can't put myself into. All right. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Okay. To explain this better. And it'll deal with Joe. You didn't know Joe at all,
no.
Really.
No, I only knew him to ask him two or three questions over my lifetime at a media conference.
Exactly. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm certainly not in any way, shape, or form.
No, I understand.
I'm using as an example because I think you've had more contact than virtually every member of the audience has. How about that?
Maybe.
Well, certainly.
No, right.
I was around him a lot. Every day? No, in football season, every day. Off season, you know, a few times, you know, whatever. Socially, yeah. Sometimes, yeah. You get to a point where you remind yourself who he is. We're having a computer problem here, that's why. So I can't see the phone lines right now, just so you know.
All right.
You have to remind yourself, okay, you got to remember he is who he is, right? Because you develop a personal relationship with him, for the lack of a better word, that's human. How about that?
Right. It's outside of the normal realm that people would.
Right.
Right.
You know, in other words, you know, how are you feeling today? All right. Well, tell you, especially in the later years, he'd tell me exactly how he's feeling. Hey, how you feeling today? He says, I got da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He says, you know what I mean? When he won 400 games, you know what I did when he won 400 games?
No.
Okay. I felt like I should get him something, but it needed to be personal between him and me. I just didn't want to go out there and go, hey, look, I got you a newspaper clipping. Hey, I got you a plaque. You know?
And that's got to be a challenge to try and find something. Yeah.
Right. Get that. So I figured out what I was going to do. Every time he and I would tape the pregame show, he would always go up to Cynthia Ault's desk, which was at that time just outside the office. That desk has since been removed. Bill's remodeled the office a little bit. That's now a lobby area. But he would walk up to Cynthia Ault's desk, which was just outside of his office, and he would grab either a handful of pretzels or he'd grab a handful of licorice. Usually 8 times out of 10, it was the pretzels. Okay? And he'd go in. He'd go to his desk, he'd check a couple quick things, bring some papers over, and he'd go, okay, Steve, let's get going, as he's settling into the chair, and I'd start things up, and then I'd take a little longer in the opening sometimes, depending on whether he was still eating or whether he was reading something, or he needed a chance to settle in. So what I did when he won 400 was that I went out, got a canister, and had 400 pretzels put into the canister. And when the game came up, the Ohio State game the next week, when we were done, I said, by the way, I said, I know that everybody's been giving you gifts left and right. I said, I didn't want to give you something you're just going to take home, throw in the closet, and have Sue sort out later in life. I said, I wanted to get something that was personal between you and me. And I pulled out, I said, this canister, I said, every time we do the pregame show, you either have pretzels or you have licorice. I said, this canister has 400 pretzels in there. I said, I did not want to get licorice because I didn't want you, Dennis, killing me. Right? And he looked at me and he says, this is, you know, sometimes simpler is better. And he says, this is great. He says, this is really great. And he looks at me and he says, I don't want to take this home. I said, why do you want to take it home? He says, are you kidding me? He says, then I'll take it on me. He says, this is mine.
Somebody else will finish it off.
Right. Well, this is mine, right? So he looks around. He cradles the thing with both arms. He walks up and he puts it under his desk. He says, now I can have my own stash here anytime I want. See what I mean about personal moment or personal memory?
Sure.
And that's why you say to me, well, you know,
I get it. I just find it strange that being around sports as you have been for so long that you've never developed any sort of, you know, need to collect or desire to collect anything.
And I work with Jack Hamm all the time. Now, if we're to ask most of the people in the audience, and probably some people that you work with at the station, they'd love to have Jack Hamm's autograph.
Yeah, I could say that, yeah.
I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. Zero. That's great. I am not in any way here putting down what people want to collect. Everybody has their own interests. And I think that's a nice, healthy, fun interest to have. Zero wrong with it. But I don't want Jack's autograph. He's my friend.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's my working partner, my colleague. He's a great friend. You know, he has a problem. He calls me. I have a problem. I call him. We're friends.
Well, I guess I might as well put that signed picture of me away. You want
that? You know, same thing with Dick. All right, same thing with Dick. We're best of friends. And, you know, and I think I've always found that part interesting. I think the audience loves to know that we're friends.
No, I'm not saying using your influence or using your connections to collect. I'm just saying just collecting in general.
No, I have no interest in it. For some odd reason, I never have. When I was a kid, I collected cards. But I also took the cards and baseball cards, in fact, and I made my own baseball game up.
Who needs APBA?
Well, this is what I did. My parents had a Cape Cod style home. Two bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs, downstairs. There were two bedrooms, living room, dining room, bathroom, kitchen, right? And eventually they built out a breezeway and a garage down the road. But they also had a full basement. So what I would do in the basement, and my parents always did a great job, by the way, of keeping the basement clean. And they always had some knucklehead clean it every Saturday and sweep it. I wonder who that was. And I would draw out a baseball field on the cellar floor. And my father had a sheet metal fabrication company. Well, he would get sheets of steel from American Steel. And I worked at his shop all the time. You know, I worked every summer, every vacation, so I was around it all the time. And those sheets of steel were encased in cardboard. And these were huge sheets of steel, so big sheets of cardboard, okay? And I would take the cardboard from that, and I would make a wall in the outfield out of the cardboard. And then I had a little piece of wood, and that was the scoreboard. And I put the scoreboard in center field, and then they had instead of my wall being in left field, my big wall is in right field. And I put cards out on the field. And I would then take, you know, what am I, 8, 9 years old at the time? Lincoln logs. And I would take one of the longer Lincoln logs, the flat green ones that were used for the roof, and the smaller ones that were used for the corner, and the smaller one was the ball. And I would use it as a lever and fulcrum, and I'd launch the thing. And I had a yardstick, and depending on where it landed, if it landed within that area, it was an out.
That's actually a pretty clever setup.
If it hit the wall, it was a double. If it hit the scoreboard, it was a triple. And if it went into the bullpen, it was a home run. If it went over the wall, it was a home run. I was 8, 9 years old at the time, so I used my baseball cards to do that.
That's actually really clever.
So, yeah, that's what I did. And I remember a neighbor across the street named Joe Lane, and he had three daughters. And he never had, so he had three daughters, no sons, and he loved sports. He'd take me up to Patriots training camp, which at that time was in Amherst at UMass. And Amherst at UMass was maybe 18, 20 miles away from my house. Okay? So I'd go with him up there. He'd take my brother and he'd take me up there. And then one time he went to a Packers-Colts game and he brought back for me an autograph program. And on the autograph program was Bart Starr. I remember Dennis Gaubatz, who was the middle linebacker for the Colts, Ray Nitschke, and Herb Adderley were the four autographs he got on there, and he gave it to me. Honestly, it probably is still at my mother's house, but I never did collect autographs or whatever, but he gave that to me, which was awfully nice of him. I mean, he was a really, really nice man. So,
yeah, I was never a huge autograph collector, but it seems to be, I look at the strange collectibles.
I mean, like for me, I have pictures of me at certain, you know, Jack, Jeff Tarman, Roger, me, blue white game, Joe and me, blue white game, Joe and me announcing a blue white game, Fran Fisher and me together, Dick, Jack and me at the Ohio State game 2005. Dick, Jack, Jeff Tarman and me, and Ron Moeller. That was taken last month. I have pictures of me introducing Patrick Chambers to be the new head basketball coach at Penn State on the Big Ten Network together. You know, Bill O'Brien talking with Jack and me
off to the side, and somebody caught a picture of us and sent me the picture. So I have that in a frame. Things like that I have. You know. And the press passes of big games or big moments I've been privileged to be a part of. And it's a privilege, believe me. But that's what I have. Oh, well.
My kid collects lug nuts. Or so it would appear now. What's your strange collectible? Give us a call at 800-795-9565, or if you just want to ask Steve a question in general.
Bill O'Brien will replay the interview at 4:35 after Sarah's news. And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, located on Market Street in Sunbury. And you can always go online, and these people will take great care of you at purdyinsurance.com. Take a break. Sarah's news, Bill O'Brien, all in that order, and your calls at 1-800-795-9565 on the phone line, powered by Lenape Solar here on WKOK.
The temperature in June can get hot, but not as hot as the lineup of Kias at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see Sunbury Motors Kia has 46 of the hottest, fastest-selling vehicles in America. Built in the USA, 2013 Kia Sorentos start at just $21,940. Built in the USA, 2012 Optimas from $19,975. 2012 Kia Souls for as low as $14,730. Want great fuel economy? Sunbury Motors Kia has the 40 mpg 2013 Kia Rio starting at $14,960. Or how about the 2012 Optima Hybrid with up to an amazing 47 mpg and starting at $25,957. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, you get an extra set of tires. The hottest, fastest-selling cars are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar at lenapesolar.com. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Earlier in the show, we sat down with Penn State football coach Bill O'Brien. And when we get an interview like this on, we realize there's an audience changeover, especially when you're in the 3 to 5 slot. So we thought it would be important for us to revisit that interview and give an opportunity to those who may not have had a chance the first time to hear what Bill had to say.
Bill, for you, as you've gone through, you've met everybody. Now you're really working every day to get ready for the opener. How do you attack June, July before you get to camp?
June's a big month. We've had a bunch of staff meetings already, training camp staff meetings, recruiting meetings, preparation for Ohio and Navy and Virginia meetings. So we've really been working around the clock Monday through Friday this month of June. And then July we'll take some time off, and because everybody needs to recharge their batteries. We've all been going at it pretty good here for 4 or 5 months. So that's what we'll do in July, and then we'll come back ready to go the end of the month.
It's also camp month. Give us an idea of the value you place on the camps.
Camps are big because you get to meet these guys, talk to them, see them run around, evaluate their skill set, and at the end of the day, see what they're all about as competitors, as kids. And so it's really important that these camps take place, and our coaches have done an excellent job of getting the prospects to camp. We've had one camp a couple weeks ago that we had over 250 kids at, and then this camp coming up on the 16th, we'll have another really good turnout. So camps have been good.
Every coach has what they think is their own positional balance on their football team. So you have an idea what your positional balance should be. In recruiting, have you at least started to migrate in that direction? Because it's going to take time.
Yeah, no question. Probably the very first thing that we did when I arrived here after the Super Bowl was to evaluate our current roster, not only in preparation for spring practice, but in preparation for our recruiting needs. And so we're on the track of trying to balance those numbers out, like you just said, and it will probably take a couple of years to truly balance them out the way we want it. But we're taking it slow. We're doing our homework, and so far so good, and we just got to stay on track with recruiting as one team and making sure that we're all on the same page.
In the NFL, you're used to working with 53, probably 23 to 27 on an offense. You released your depth chart. Is that your at least your blueprint going in as to what your top 50 or 60 happen to be?
Yeah, no question. You know, the depth chart is really it's a reflection of a couple different things. Number one, I think we have some decent depth at certain positions. And number two, we've got some position battles that will still take place in August. So along the offensive line, there's a couple of position battles there. The tight end position, people have asked me about that a lot. We play a lot of different personnel groupings, so there could be four or five different tight ends that play during a game, and that's a pretty decent position for us. So those battles will take place during August, and they'll be fun to watch.
Also, at this time of the year, leadership manifests itself. Your guys, it's not just Fitz running through. Your guys have to be the ones saying, hey, follow me. Have you been able to get a gauge, naming Matt quarterback being one of them, get a gauge on the leaders that you have?
No question. I would say, you know, the senior class that we have here is really a bunch of good leaders. We've got some guys in that class that have really stepped up in spring practice and stepped up so far in the summertime to show really good leadership qualities. And we're counting on that class to really have a good year for us as far as leadership goes. And a lot of those guys are going to play meaningful minutes for us. So we've got to have good players there too. And so far they've really taken a bull by the horn and done it.
And you've talked about already Matt McGloin, Paul Jones, and then of course Boldy being third at this stage. Fans may not understand. It's very difficult getting two ready, let alone one.
You definitely can't get three ready. You can evaluate as best you can in the spring, and that's what we did with three getting equal reps. And we did that. We all three of those guys got equal reps. Now we headed into training camp, and we've got to have a starter. And Matt definitely has earned that starting position. He's got to continue to earn it every day. And Paul got better as the spring went on, and so Paul's number two. And as we move forward into training camp, both those guys know that they have to play well to keep those spots, but they've earned it to this point.
Without even putting a DVD in, if I were to ask you about the Miami Dolphins defense, you could tell me chapter and verse scheme and also tendencies of guys. You now have to learn 12 teams and probably 300 in personnel tendencies that you had not known about before. At this stage, how do you divvy up duties like that beyond what you have to do?
Well, again, you really depend on your staff, and we've got a very experienced staff. We've got a bunch of really good graduate assistants that have really knocked out a lot of work on our first three opponents, which has been encouraging to see how well they worked, our GAs. So we're well ahead of where I've been in the past at this point in time on the first two games. And so, you know, again, we've got to keep studying and keep preparing. And those opponents, those first three opponents are really, you know, those are tough teams. So starting with Ohio, which is an excellent football team with a great head coach in Frank Solich. So we're doing a good job of keeping up with it, but we've got to continue that and then take some time off in July and then get back after it when we get back.
Finally, I know in basketball, a couple coaches do this. They'll take an assistant coach, and it's their scout, it's their scout, it's that scout. In football, can you do that? Can you assign a scout to an assistant coach? Do you go about it that way, or is it really the GAs?
Each coach on the staff is in charge of a team. If that makes sense, meaning, every guy on our staff, including the graduate assistants, will have a team that they're in charge of from a scouting perspective, whether it's newspaper articles or whatever it may be, scheme, watching tape, any tendencies. So that's the way we divide that up. And then obviously the coaches on the staff have their individual responsibilities for their side of the ball. So that's the way it's going to go. And right now our staff's really bought into that and working well on that.
All right, Bill O'Brien. Replay from the opening hour, but of course, with the ever-changing audience, we know that there are some people that may not be able to catch it at 3:35, and able to that way you can catch up on what's going on with the Nittany Lions. We'll have a lot more of these as the summer goes along. As Kevin, during that Bill O'Brien interview, was out showing off the lug nut that his son was able to collect this week from Pocono International Raceway.
Are you kidding? I haven't been able to touch that lug nut. And by the way, if you missed any of the interview the second time, you'll be able to hear it either hour on the podcast archive at stevejonesshow.com, which is available just after 5.
Yes, so we're looking forward to that, obviously.
But once again, that is the that's the interview with Bill and gets everybody up to date. I mean, there's no question who 1-2 happened to be, but it's also important along the way for them to establish that I think you have to continue to earn it. That depth chart's not etched in stone. They will go to camp. That is the starting point. All right? That's the starting point, which I think is the most important part of the whole thing. So, any questions from you, or are you still out there wondering about, you know, collectibles?
No, I'm fine. I thought that was a really good interview. I thought the important part was why he talked about the depth chart, and you and I had talked about that when it came out, especially with at tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Look, you're playing multiple people. That, you know, when they sit there, the guys on the first team are not the only guys playing. You really have to have a solid two deep at every spot, and there's some spots you need to have three. Well, those F and X tight ends are three spots deep. They need to be tailbacks three spots deep. That slot receiver's two right now. That works out. Okay? And so,
yeah.
And you like to collect things.
Oh, we were just we talked about strange collectibles during the one break, and I said that my son at the race picked up a lug nut and thought that that was a cool little thing to add to his little collection of just strange things. And I said the weirdest thing that I've collected over the years is an unused biathlon ticket for the Salt Lake City Olympic Games.
Why did you want that?
That was the same question my wife asked me when it came in the mail. She goes, why in the world would you want that? The Olympics are over. It did come with a commemorative program as well from the Olympics. But it's just something I'm never going to be able to have is a ticket to an Olympic Games. I've tried to make several different Olympics over the years, and something has always stopped me from being able to do it. And I, being a huge fan of Olympic sports, and the Olympic coverage over the years, I absorb every bit of it I can get. It just seemed like a really interesting piece to have in my collection that I wouldn't normally be able to get a hold of.
Very true. Biathlon, shooting, and skiing. Now you think about the roots, you know, but you think about the root of a sport. The root of a sport, that one is the root of... Okay, I live in Finland, Sweden, and I have to go out in the middle of winter and hunt for food. That's the root of the sport. Now, it turns out that, you know, you're skiing, you get to a point, target, and then you're trying to hit targets. But it's so difficult because you're so fatigued from the cross-country skiing aspect of it. All right, let's go to Bob in Lewisburg. Hi, Bob at 1-800-795-9565. Thanks for joining us on the Leonard B. Solar Hotline.
Well, hey, Kevin. Hey, Steve. Just wanted to chime in. I'm kind of like you, Steve. I collect pictures, and I have two of probably my most cherished pictures. At my former job, I had the opportunity to meet two distinguished Americans. One was Joe Paterno, right, and the other was President and Laura Bush. They were at the same event. There was obviously a bigger crowd around Joe Paterno than there was around the ex-president and his wife. But, but towards the end of the open time where some of the VIPs had a chance to meet him, I finally got in to talk with Joe. And, you know, he took a very good interest in me. You know, he asked me where I was from. I said Lewisburg, and he just started talking about Lewisburg and all that kind of stuff. And I was fortunate enough that the professional photographer that was around had snapped a picture of him with his arm around me, and I just thought that was just the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my memory of Joe. But then I have my picture of me and George and Laura Bush, and then I have my picture of me and Joe. And everybody that enters my office says, wow, you got your picture taken with Joe? Nobody ever says anything about the president.
Right.
Well, and you know what? And from what I understand, I've never met George W. Bush. I've seen him speak, but I understand that he is a very humble man. And he, too, would say, it's really great you have Joe's picture.
Yeah, and it was funny because when they do the photo shoot, you get like 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And me being a minister, I also said, hey, I've been praying for you guys. And he looked at me and he says, I appreciate that. And then snapped the picture, and then on you go. But, I mean, both of them were really nice, but just that big of a thing to get, you know, have your picture taken with Joe. And I had honestly hoped to get up this summer and have him autograph that, but obviously we know that never happened.
Right.
But I mean, that's the thing. The only autograph that I actually intentionally sought out was Tony Dungy.
Okay.
We went out to a training camp out of Terre Haute when they were still at Rose Holman. Because we were figuring, my wife and I were figuring it was going to be his last year.
Right.
And we read all of his books and everything. So, I mean, literally, we waited. There was about maybe 10 of us that waited after the practice. The team had already left the field, and he just comes over with two pens in his hands, and he just started signing stuff, just talking to you like, he was talking to my wife like he knew her. Just right. A very humble man that Tony Dungy was. And so he signed my book. So that's really the only autograph I intentionally sought out.
Yeah, but you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's fine. I think there's nothing wrong with collecting autographs. There's nothing wrong with having your picture taken with somebody and then asking them to sign it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look, I'm nobody. But people want their picture with me sometimes because I announce Penn State football. People want me to sign something. And I'm more than happy to do it every single time. I'm actually more complimented maybe than they are. So I understand.
Well, I know Kevin probably gets a lot at Shikellamy football. So.
Oh, yeah. No, he really does. In fact, I want a picture of him and the chief broadcasting a Shikellamy basketball game. I want them both to sign it.
The problem was we've tried to do that with football, but you can't get Coach Hort and myself in the same frame together. So it just doesn't work out really well. It's unfortunate, but you know, it just doesn't happen.
This segment of the show, by the way, is being brought to you by Weight Watchers.
you guys are all right. Well, thanks, guys. I just wanted to share my little piece of the world that I got to meet Coach Paterno.
Well, Bob, your little piece of the world made the show better today. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Bob from Lewisburg on the Lenape Solar Hotline. Our show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go online to purdyinsurance.com. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. More of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Pictures of you, pictures of me, hung up on your wall.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought that would be an appropriate song to play.
Very nice. Well done. I like it. So I mean, people love collecting things. It doesn't matter whether you collect pictures, you collect cards, you collect autographs, you collect trains. There's so many things you can collect. Antiques.
I mean, they're, and people enjoy getting a collection. I know somebody who has this huge Coca-Cola bottle collection in his cellar, and it's arranged perfectly, and it's in order, and you know what? I think that stuff's, it's impressive. Now, would I do it? No. But you know what? I always, you know what I admire about people? Are people who, in a positive way, have a passion about something. All right. Now, I kid you about your open wheel racing thing.
Sure.
But the reality is it's just kidding around. You're passionate about it. I admire that. I admire, you know, somebody who seriously wants to collect and they love it. It's a great release for them. They enjoy it, and I think that's great. If there's somebody who likes to get autographed baseballs and so forth or footballs, I mean, that, I think that's great. Especially when you can get them at an auction, they benefit a charity. I think that's tremendous. And it's to each his own. People say, well, then what are you passionate about? Well, I'm passionate about the games I broadcast. That's why I'm already getting ready as we speak. I'm up to Purdue on the schedule as of today. That's what I do. That's what I'm passionate about. And as soon as I'm done with Purdue, I will then head to Nebraska on my schedule. I'll then do Indiana, and then I'll finish with Wisconsin. And then on Friday, I'll start with St. Francis in basketball. And I'll get all the basketball games prepared. That way, by the end of the month, I have it done and in my computer. You cannot do anything well in life unless you're passionate about it. Collectors are passionate about what they do. And it's a positive. It is something that shows something about them. You have to be organized about it. You have to be focused on it. And it's a great release for people, and it's fun. And this guy took me down his basement, huge Penn State fan that lives in Williamsport, great guy. He wanted to show me his Coke bottle collection, and it was incredible what he had there. Now, does that interest me? No, but his passion in doing it did.
Because every bottle has a story, I'm sure.
Right, and I admired what he did. I admired it because I have great appreciation for that. You have to be really dedicated and smart to put that together the way he did and research it and understand it. And he only had two pictures in his basement, right? And they were both signed, one of Joe and Fran Fisher and one of Joe and me.
Here's the thing with collecting. You don't collect it to see what it's worth later on.
No, you don't.
That's the thing that I think a lot of people forget.
He was not collecting it to sell it. He was collecting it because he thought it was a fun thing to do. And collecting is fun.
Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody wants to give me $25 for those tickets, I might consider it, you know, but still.
Yeah, well, we all have our standards in life.
That's right. I got a number.
Yeah. Now, if your collection has to be junk in a garage, I don't admire that. That's not a collection. That's called junk.
I've already got that.
Hey, we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Thanks to Bill O'Brien for being on the show today.